This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is... It's DCR.
The Yankees have certainly shown their cards. They are absolutely still going for it this year. And if you had any doubts, they put those doubts to rest by making a trade for Joey Gallo.
This ball hit high down the right field line. It is gone! A home run! A three-run shot for Gallo!
Power, great defense, and he walks a lot and gets on base. Those are the three things that you're getting with Joey Gallo.
Joey Gallo, being able to add him to this lineup should help the Yankees in terms of them trying to make that postseason push.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
In for Dave Rothenberg and Rick DiPietro. I'm Bob Wischusen with the class of the DCR show, Chris Canty.
There you
He'll
go,
be on
Bob.
TV.
There you go. You got it right.
And I'm telling you right now, if you want to see a man that looks like he belongs on television, click on Get Up when it comes on at 8 a.m., and you will see a man that looks like he belongs on television. Because Chris Canty right now, like, he is just one step away from, like, smoothing his eyebrows out before he gets in front of the camera.
Wow, I'm one of those guys, huh?
You look like it.
The eyebrows, I do that.
You look polished. I'm just telling you.
I appreciate you saying that, but yeah. The eyebrows thing, Bob, I don't know, man. You're going to jeopardize my street cred with saying stuff like that.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
You're a man that gets a manicure in secret from time to time, I'm sure, at this point.
Definitely not a manicure guy.
The Goodyear Hotline, DCR at 98.7 ESPN. Again, we got some open lines at 1-800-919-3776, 1-800-919-ESPN. Back to where we started, 5 a.m. We were probably talking to some folks that went to bed last night before they knew that the Yankees got Joey Gallo. But if you're up now, I'm sure you have heard that the Yankees have made. I don't know if it is a game-changing trade, but it's something I think we talked about, Chris, when we first came on. It at least tips the Yankees' hand. If you were wondering philosophically what they thought of their season, what they thought of their team, what they were going to do as the trade deadline approached, well, now you know they went out and they didn't trade the top of the farm, but they certainly traded a nice handful of well-thought-of prospects, I guess, to get a left-handed power bat to play left field. It's a trade deadline difference maker they're hoping for. What are your thoughts now? Reiterate about the Joey Gallo trade.
Well, I think it was a move that we all anticipated. He was one of the names that had kind of been circulating for the last month or so as one of the potential targets that the Yankees had at the deadline, and it makes a lot of sense. He's a left-handed power bat in Yankee Stadium. He's going to be able to take advantage of that short porch that's out there in right field, of his 145 career home runs, 75 of them are to right field. So you're hoping that he can take advantage of that a little bit. And you're hoping that this move can jumpstart the offense for the Yankees where they can be a little more consistent in terms of production and scoring runs. Defensively, I mean, he's a plus defender. You're going to be able to stick him out there in the outfield, and he's going to be an upgrade over what you've been putting out there in left field for the most part all year long. So you feel good about those two things. The downside to adding Joey Gallo, if you do want to nitpick the trade, is that Joey Gallo is a big strikeout guy. I mean, he strikes out almost a third of his at-bats, so it's just one of those things. You hope that, you know, him being a part of the lineup, being able to add to the group that they already has, puts pressure on opposing pitchers in order to create some of those mistakes that those guys can take advantage of. But, I mean, the question becomes now for the Yankees, can this offense get on a little bit of a roll to try to make a push to get to the postseason? And if you're lucky enough to be able to get a hold of one of those wild card spots, you know, can these bats in this lineup come through with the big timely hits? That's something that they haven't been able to do in postseasons past. I'm hoping that if they do get back to the tournament this year, that changes a little bit and Joey Gallo is a part of it.
So you're calling me a nitpicker is what you're doing. Like, you were looking right at me when you said nitpicker.
You are a nitpicker. You're a glass half empty kind of guy. I mean, I just want you to embrace that. I want you to accept that. That's who you are. Be who you are, Bob. Be who you are. When you cut on the microphone this morning, you spent about 30 seconds talking about the positives, and we've spent the last 2 hours of the show talking about the negatives. I'm just saying.
That hurts a little.
No, it's true.
I thought we were closer than that. Like, you're the one guy that actually at this radio station up to this point seemed to like me. And now no, even you are like turning
like
on
you,
me.
But I don't know if you also do. Understand you, Bob. That's the thing. I like you, but I also get you. And this is one of those moves that you're kind of ho-hum about.
Well,
I mean,
you know.
Listen, it's a positive move. I make no bones about it. To me, this is a positive step in the right direction for Brian Cashman and the Yankees. But I don't look at this as one of those moves that's going to put this team over the top and make them a championship contender, put them on the same level as the Boston Red Sox or the Houston Astros. I just don't see that this move being able to do that. Now, I could be proven wrong, but I just don't see that as of right now.
I mean, I'm overweight. I got man boobs. I'm balding. Like, you understand where the glass half empty, that like the DNA of glass half empty is everywhere you look. Right? So you got to understand that. That's the jumping off point. But having said that, look, I was just trying to play devil's advocate.
That
Gallo is a left-handed version of a lot of what the Yankees already have. Right? The analytics says try to jack that three-run home run over the shift. That's what he's going to try to do. Just like Gary Sanchez tries to do that. Just like Luke Voit tries to do that. Just like Giancarlo Stanton tries to do that. Just like Aaron Judge tries to do that. He is going – I think when we were talking about what you thought, even the prototypical type player you would like the Yankees to go after at the trade deadline a couple of days ago, you were talking about a Gleyber Torres-esque or a DJ LeMahieu-esque kind of a player. Maybe one of those dynamic middle infielders. And maybe they'll still do that. Maybe they're not done, right? We still got about 30 hours to go before the trade deadline arrives, and they didn't spend their top of the farm collateral to go out and get Joey Gallo. But to me, there still is, even though he's left-handed, even though he is, I think, a surprisingly good athletic defensive outfielder, mm-hmm. so that helps as well. He's still a lot of what they've got already just from the left-hand side. And is it one of those, you know, like what's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? Are the Yankees just adding more of what they've already got, a guy that's going to strike out a lot, trying to hit home runs, and is anything going to change?
Well, I mean, it's clear that Brian Cashman believes in that philosophy, right? Like, he believes in having a lot of guys that can hit the ball over the fence, and, you know, one of those guys on any given night can change the complexion of the game, and that's what he's banking on. Unfortunately for him, up until this point in the season, you haven't had enough of those moments where your team can find solid footing and be in better position in terms of postseason standings. Like, you're just not there. So, I mean, it feels like a little bit of an uphill climb, maybe too far uphill in order to be able to catch the Boston Red Sox for the division. But, I mean, the wild card is right there for you. I mean, you're not by any means out of wild card contention. So we'll see what the Yankees end up doing in terms of the second half and trying to get themselves back in the postseason. But I don't think that the Yankees are done just after this Joey Gallo move. I really don't. I think that Brian Cashman has another trick or two up his sleeve before the trade deadline tomorrow in order to continue to fortify this roster and put themselves in position where – they can have the best chance in order to get back to the playoffs. I got to believe that he's going to do something to try to address the pitching staff, Bob, because I feel like they actually need that, especially when you look at the rotation, some of the injuries that they've had to try to deal with, had to try to overcome. And then based on how much they've been taxing their bullpen, they've been working those guys, I wouldn't be mad at them if they decided to add in more depth in that part of their club as well. So
yep.
We'll see what ends up happening, but – I think the Joey Gallo move is a step in the right direction, but I feel like there are more steps to be made in order to make me feel comfortable enough to believe in this team and their potential to get to the postseason and go on a little bit of a run.
Well, if you want to talk about what the Yankees did, what you think they still should do, what the Mets still may need to do, and to me, if there's a team out there with more pressure on them to make a deal to help prop up a team that I think right now has – you know, kind of a foundation made of sand, it's the Mets. I do think that by tomorrow, yeah, I would be very, very disappointed if I was a Met fan and you didn't hear about a big trade being made to bolster this team by the time the deadline expires tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
See, we haven't even talked about the NBA draft. But here it is. We're right on the doorstep of the NBA draft. The Knicks, it seems like there is this eternal search for the everyday point guard. I'm not sure if that's where you think they're going to go, but there are some really interesting names in this year's draft.
No, there are some interesting names, and you're hearing that the Knicks are considering packaging the 19th pick and the 21st pick in order to move up and try to make a play for one of those point guards, whether it's Chris Duarte or Davion Mitchell from Baylor. Like, they're trying to make a move for a guy, and that's what they should focus on, in all honesty, Bob. Like, that's one of the areas that this team has to figure out. Point guard is the most important position in the NBA. I mean, you saw what happened with the Milwaukee Bucks. They added Drew Holiday this offseason, and lo and behold, they end up winning the NBA championship. Like, that's how much of a difference a point guard can make. I mean, Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns and what that team was able to turn into this year. Like, you have to be able to find a guy that can be a difference maker. And you like what you saw from Emmanuel Quickly. You hope that he can build on that in year two. But to me, it's clear what the Knicks should be focusing on this offseason, which is finding a point guard, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, whether it's via trade. Like, they've got to find a way to upgrade that position, because asking a guy like Derrick Rose to do what he did in the postseason last year, you realize that that's not something that's sustainable. They need to try to get younger at that position, more dynamic. And right now is the beginning of the opportunities for the Knicks to do that.
Well, one of my jobs at ESPN, obviously a lot of my job at ESPN over the past 20 years or so, has been college basketball. And for the last 6 or 7 years, I have been one of the main guys on the Big 12. So I have done Monday nights with Fran Fraschilla in the Big 12, Big Monday, and I have seen Davion Mitchell and that group of Baylor players not only developed, obviously go on to win a national championship, but kind of go from, you know, like the, you know, the guys you'd never heard of before to the best backcourt in college basketball. And I'm just telling, if there's a Knicks fan out there that's not a big college basketball fan, and you just hear the name Davion Mitchell, or you watched those guys absolutely smother Gonzaga in the championship game, that is what they are. Like, that group of guards, you can't go to Central Casting and find, if they can pull this off, and find a point guard that would be more of a fan favorite because of how he plays than Davion Mitchell would be to Knicks fans at the Garden. All of the toughness of, you know, the Derek Harpers, the John Starks, the Doc Rivers, like all of those guys that were a part of get up in your mug, drive you crazy. Every single defensive possession is played like it's the last possession of the game, and I am going to be all over you and be a tone setter and never have one moment of taking my foot off the gas pedal type defense and intensity. Mm-hmm. That is Davion Mitchell as a point guard. So if you get him, he is a tone setter for your team in a way that, like, the last thing you ever have to worry about Davion Mitchell doing is taking a possession off, because he never, ever does it.
And you know that's exactly what Tibbs is looking for, right? Like, he's looking
for
a guy
so good for
that can be a defensive presence, especially at that position. So, I mean, if you were able to get him somebody like that, I think that would be huge for the Knicks. I mean, because let's face it, man, they struggled against point guards. You saw it against the Atlanta Hawks with Trae Young. Like, they struggled finding ways to try to slow Trae Young down, to try to defend him in that high pick and roll that the Hawks ran at him over and over and over again. So if you can get a guy that can be dynamic on the offensive end, but also, you know, be more of a presence defensively, especially knowing that you have a defensive-minded head coach, like, to me, that's going to be huge. That can make a big impact immediately for the Knicks with this upcoming season. So, I mean, fingers crossed that they could put themselves in position to be able to get a guy like that. Not sure it's going to happen. But, I mean, it's going to be really interesting tonight to see what Leon Rose does in his second draft, being able to run things, him and Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, too, thinking specifically about what they struggled the most with, and probably had they been able to solve that problem, they would have won the Hawks series. They just couldn't stay in front of Trae Young. If there was one guy in college basketball that I have seen with my own eyes that I would be confident could be the guy to go stay in front of Trae Young, like, that's my guy, and he ain't going nowhere, it would be Davion Mitchell. I think it's that would be a great move if the Knicks could package something. And now you're right.
I tell you, the guy is built like a running back.
They'll have to move up to go get him.
He's built like a running back.
Yes.
I mean, Davion Mitchell looks like he can be starting for the Baylor football team. I mean, that's how big that guy is. It already feels like he has an NBA body. So, I mean, again, I think this is one of those players that could contribute in year one as a rookie. But it's just a matter of, are the Knicks going to be able to position themselves to get a guy like that?
Absolutely. All right, we got Telephone calls at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Let's get a few in. DJ in Jersey City joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, DJ?
How's it going, guys? I wanted to talk about who the Mets need to go after in this trade deadline.
Okay.
They need to go after Chris Bryant. They don't need to add more pitching. Hopefully DeGrom gets healthy. You know, Taiwan Walker's been better than advertised. Stroman's been pitching well this year. You're hoping Cookie can come back and be, you know, something solid. And even Syndergaard coming back, hopefully he can give you some good games. Come playoff time, they go down to a 3- or 4-man rotation. They don't need more starters. Even Miguel's been better than advertised. They got to stick with what they have. They've got a solid bullpen. Diaz is a liability, but, you know, he has those games where he comes back and shuts the door. So they need offense. I can deal with letting up 12 runs and losing a game. I can't deal with losing games 2-0, 1-0. And that seems to happen far too often with some of these guys.
And on the flip side, constantly trying to keep winning games 2-1 or 3-1 the way they are right now. Like in a 14-inning doubleheader, they split the doubleheader and in 14 innings scored one run. I don't think you can keep living life that way. I agree. Chris Bryant can play anywhere. Professional hitter. I think they could re-sign him. I mean, if money's no object for Steve Cohen, there's no reason he can't be here long term. I love Chris Bryant for the Mets if they can make that happen.
No, I think it makes a whole lot of sense, too. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with either one of those guys from the Cubs, whether it's Chris Bryant or Javi Baez, both free agents after the season. Like, I think both of them make sense for a lot of the reasons that you and that last caller pointed out. I look at this Mets pitching staff, and I don't feel comfortable with where it's at, the injuries that your rotation has dealt with, and then knowing what you have in the bullpen. Like, they've been a pleasant surprise, but I still don't all the way trust it, especially when you start talking about guys like Familia, like Diaz, like May. So I wouldn't have a problem with them trying to fortify their bullpen as well at the trade deadline. We'll see what Zach Scott ends up doing, but I think it's clear that they have to make some moves because this team has demonstrated that they're good enough. They're sitting in the pole position in the NL East. It just makes sense, especially when you have an owner who's already told you that money is no object and he's willing to blow past the luxury tax.
We got Peter in Oakland, New Jersey, joining us next on 98.7 ESPN. Peter.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Fire away.
I just want to talk about this deal the Yankees made with Gallo, and when does the clock run out on Cashman and these deals that he keeps making? He keeps bringing on the same guys. They have a bunch of guys that are station-to-station guys, home run or nothing, and that's not going to help this team.
Peter, I'm just telling you right now, you're being very negative. You're being very negative. Chris Candy doesn't like negativity. Chris likes all the positivity. He just wants you to talk about how the Yankees are being aggressive and he can hit home runs, left-hander. All right, so I'm just saying, it's dangerous to bring that stuff on this show. You might get yelled at.
No, don't say that. Don't make me out to be that guy. I'm not a homer, B.O.B. Like, I can be objective about what I'm seeing from the Yankees. And listen, I understand the flaws of this team all too well. I mean, like, the way that this team has played this year, the games that they've blown, the leads that they've blown, like it's maddening to watch. But I mean, I don't know how you couldn't look at the Joey Gallo move as a positive for this club. I mean, he's a plus defender. You're going to be able to upgrade your outfield. I mean, he's better than anything that you've barged out there in left field to date this season. So I don't understand where the downside from that regard is. And then you're adding a huge power lefty bat to your lineup. Like, that's something that you need. Everybody's been calling into our show complaining about how the Yankees are too right-handed heavy in their lineup and they need to be able to add some lefty bats. Well, you added a lefty bat. Guy's got 25 home runs on the season. He's going to be able to take advantage of the short porch out there in right field in Yankee Stadium. Like, why are you choosing to look at it as a negative? It doesn't make sense to me. I get that he strikes out a lot, but he also hits the ball over the fence a lot, and that's something that the Yankees could use because they've been wildly inconsistent right when it comes to the offensive side of things.
I'm just saying I'm fat and bald and woke up at 4. So, like, I'm like, the jumping off point is negativity. And you just have to understand that.
That explains a lot. That explains a lot. I appreciate it.
But I've enjoyed that. Like, you're the only guy here that I think likes me. I think everybody else kind of somewhat, like, I've never worked with Rothenberg or Rick. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe they would like me? I don't know, but...
Rick's a Jets fan, so you got to think he would like you.
That helps. You know, yeah. But like I worked with...
And then you and Dave Rothenberg have a lot of similar physical attributes, so...
There we are.
Maybe
same
that'll
body,
endear
same
you
body
to him.
Type, same there born negativity.
I wear a swim shirt.
Like, I worked with Peter Rosenberg, filling in for Kay a couple of summers ago. I don't know if you ever heard this story. So I work with Peter, and the following week after I work with him, he works with Alan Hahn. And on the show... With Alan Hahn, they did like a Twitter poll and a survey of, with Alan Hahn sitting there, who works better with Peter? Like, who's the better co-host?
Wow, just put you on the spot just like that, huh?
Who do you think with Alan Hahn sitting there, A, who do you think won the survey, and B, who do you think Peter voted for?
Excuse me?
He's
wow.
Pack Rosenberg.
Yes, this segment was a week-long segment on the show, how Alan Hahn's great and I suck.
Wow,
that was like a week-long
just threw
segment.
You under the bus.
Yes.
I would never do that to you, Bob. I would never do that to you.
I know you would. Obviously, I've worked sparingly with Michael, but Michael hates everyone at the radio station other than Rick. Right? Like, hadn't that been established?
Yeah, that is a little bit of an awkward relationship, too.
Knows
I don't know why those guys
helmet,
are that close. It doesn't make sense to anybody at the station. Nobody gets it.
And I worked with Don last week. And he went on and on with me about how great it was, and I had a great... The next day after I left, his Don top five was top five guys at the radio station.
Take the L!
I didn't get honorable mention. So the day after
I'm one
of the
greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
There you go. So I'm just saying, like, I've really enjoyed spending the last 3 days with you, because if you don't like me, you acted like you did, and I at least appreciated that.
Nah, I like you, B.O.B. I'm not going to throw you under the bus once you're not doing the show with me anymore. I'm not going to do that to you. I appreciate you stepping in this week.
You're a good man.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
All right, let's get some more telephone calls in. Chandler is up in Rochester, and he joins us next here on DCR on 98.7 ESPN. Morning, Chandler.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call. I'm in Canandaigua, not Rochester. Please do not put me in Rochester. That seems terrible. Rochester sucks. But I said
Rochester on my screen. What do you want me to do? Go ahead.
I know. Gallo, there's this narrative, and I hate narratives. Oh, he's just like every other guy we got. No, he's not. Now, he's never hit above 250, I'll give you that.
Yep.
Joey Gallo was a butcher in the field and at the plate when he first came up.
Yep.
He was a butcher. Okay? They started him at third, couldn't field. They put him at first, he couldn't field. They put him in the outfield, he couldn't field. They made him a DH, he couldn't hit. Struck out like 1,000 times a year. In 2019, he went from 209, 206 to 253. Tremendous jump. He's struggling this season, but if you actually watch Ranger games, he's willing to go the other way. He's willing to do things that apparently Yankee players aren't willing, which is situational hit. So the narrative, oh, he's a boom or bust guy, that's not actually true about him anymore. And had he played more than 70 games in 2019, I think he would hit around 270, 280.
No. There's nothing to suggest he would ever hit 270 or 280. I mean, he's number three in baseball right now in strikeouts. Right? Like Javi Baez, I know, has got 130. I forget who else is tied with Javi Baez. I think there's two guys tied for first. Third in baseball right now is Gallo with 125 strikeouts in 70 games. Or in 95 games. So, I mean, he's on a 200 strikeout pace. He walks a lot. I don't know how much of that is a product of, I think he's number one in baseball in walks. So he walks a ton, but of course that might be a product of being in such a terrible lineup that you're just not giving him a lot to hit. And maybe sometimes he's got to go fishing to try and make something happen and swing at bad pitches, and he's striking out a lot as a result. But, I mean, he's been, when he plays 150 games, at least in the small sample size of his career, all right, he's only 27, 28 years old, so he's probably only had three seasons maybe where he's played like a full major league season, but he's been a 200 strikeout guy in those seasons. He's on that pace again this year. So they're getting him to try and hit home runs. They're not getting him to try and spray one the other way against the shift. I mean, they got him to be a left-handed power hitter to take advantage of the short porch at Yankee Stadium, and he will do that. He will hit some home runs. My only point again, looking at what I think is, even if they make the playoffs, the logical result of this trade, it is more of the same. It is a guy that's going to try and yank balls over the shift. He's going to try to hit home runs. He's going to strike out a lot, and they've got a lot of that. And even on the 100-win Yankee teams, we have seen the result of that once they go up against the best players or best teams in baseball in the playoffs that also have the best pitching. That hasn't worked, and they're trying to do it again. Chris in Colts Neck joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. Bob Wischusen sitting in for DCR, wrapping it up on a Thursday morning. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's everything? Thank you for letting me come on. I love listening to you guys every morning.
Appreciate it.
So I just want to talk about, I know the last guy was talking about how the Mets needed offense, but I think we really need pitching, because you look at it, the reason why we're in first place right now is because of pitching. And, you know, who's guaranteed that DeGrom's going to be okay in the playoffs and he's not going to get hurt again? Taijuan Walker, you know, has pitched more innings than he ever did. And you could tell by just watching the games that he can't get past the first inning or the second inning. You got another guy in Tyler who's a rookie who knows what he's going to do in the playoffs. Then you got Stroman, who didn't pitch last year. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainties. I mean, I don't think getting an offensive bat would hurt, but I really think we should focus on the pitching. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but Chris, look at the team right now. What are they good at? What's their biggest problem? Let's just start on the simplest way to break down what the season has been. What they're really, really good at is pitching. You're going to strengthen a strength and not strengthen a weakness if you go out and add starting pitch. Like, if your philosophy is, we have to add starting pitching because we can't guarantee that Jacob DeGrom's not going to get hurt. Well, no one can guarantee against injury, but if you go out and get a big starting pitcher, right, and add a big starting pitcher to this rotation, and Carrasco comes back, Stroman keeps on doing what he's doing, Taijuan Walker keeps on doing what he's doing, you're going to get DeGrom back. You're not going to have a six-man rotation in the playoffs. What are the Mets right now struggling at? Struggling to score. Now, they should be a better offensive team than they are right now with what they've got. Right, like Michael Conforto should be better. McNeil should continue to get better. Alonso's starting to hit home runs at home. He should be this kind of productive player. When they get Lindor back, he should be a massively better offensive player than he's been so far this season. But they played a 14-inning doubleheader a couple of days ago against the Braves, scored one run, and split the games. Scored one run in 14 innings and split. What does that tell you about this team? They need help offensively. They don't need help shutting down the other team from a pitching standpoint. They just don't. So, I mean, if you're a general manager at the trade deadline, you are looking at your team going, all right, not what do we have a surplus of, what do we need? And boy, I think this whole lineup gets a shot in the arm, gets deeper and better if it's time to go out and spend some capital to get a guy like Bryant. I think he fits perfectly. And I would like to see the Mets make the commitment to go get him. That would be my number one target if I were them. Not that he's the only target. You could get, although Javi Baez strikes out a lot, you could add a Javi Baez, and you could play Baez someplace else, second or third, when Lindor comes back. You know, there's certainly other position players you could go after. But to me, Chris Bryant, I mean, that is right down the middle of what they need. I think he checks just about every box. We got some open lines at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Ira in Staten Island joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. Bob Wischusen in for the guys on DCR. Ira.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Pleasure listening to your morning.
Thanks.
This week has been a great job. Hey, let me just pick your brain a little. I'm not concerned about the Zach Wilson thing. These two sides have come to agreement. The only thing that annoyed me, they had 3 months to get this done, but it'll get done, so I'm not worried. But you being around the Jets for so many years, now I don't want you to project what these other quarterbacks accomplished, but I know you do a lot of college football, and just overall mechanic and skill set. So with the Jets drafting, since I think you're with the Jets since about 2000, so take Pennington, take Sanchez, I'll throw Geno in there because they drafted him.
Yep.
take Donald and now take Zach Wilson. Out of all of them, which one of them do you think had the best overall athletic and skill set as a quarterback for potentially becoming an NFL quarterback?
I think it is a close call. Just looking at the college tape, it's a close call between Darnold and Zach Wilson. I think it's close. Because I think Sam is going to go to Carolina and still have a very good NFL career. If he is supported the right way, if they put the right guys around him, they block for him, Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, they add another receiver at some point, I think that is a team that's still rebuilding. That's a team in its infancy. But he is going to go there. He's going to throw a five-yard pass to Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey is going to go zing, 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 run for 40 yards. And Sam Darnold's going to be looking at him going, man, where have you been my whole life? You were everything that Le'Veon Bell was supposed to be and absolutely was not when I was with him in New York. So I do think that Sam Darnold is going to play what now? Sam Darnold can go to Carolina and play well. Zach Wilson can be a huge success with the Jets. Both things can be true. Just because Sam Darnold goes to Carolina and plays well doesn't mean it's the wrong move to not have kept him, because Zach Wilson can be everything that this regime thinks he can be. But both of those guys are worlds better than Mark Sanchez. And like, if I was going to rank them, Chad Pennington got by on his smarts, on his guile, on his intelligence, on having just enough physical capability to match with a player that, you know, like, he saw defenses. You could run the most complicated offense in the world. There was more pre-snap motion when Chad Pennington was the quarterback of the Jets than I think I've seen just about any other team other than Peyton Manning running the Colts offense by himself on the field in my years of calling NFL football. Right, go back to what Chad Pennington with Brian Schottenheimer calling plays, what they did pre-snap motion-wise. They were never, ever giving you one pre-snap diagnosable look, because Chad Pennington could handle all that. He could see it. He could process it. But his arm didn't compare to what these other guys physically are able to do. Mark Sanchez, he was a really good, athletic, promising quarterback, but didn't have near the arm that Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson does. The tough part about Zach Wilson, and this is the job you have to do as a, you know, as a scout and as a general manager, you have to turn on the tape and you have to watch Zach Wilson throwing to BYU's wide receivers against Coastal Carolina's secondary. And you have to diagnose from that, can this guy throw to an NFL wide receiver against an NFL secondary? That's the job of a talent evaluator. That's how you find the Dante Culpeppers and the Ben Roethlisbergers of the world playing in the MAC, right? You don't let the fact that they're playing against inferior competition, throwing to inferior receivers, cloud your view of their talent. And so that's why you turn the tape on of Zach Wilson. You see everything. You see everything you want to see. But, you know, you got to project forward, because he's not throwing NFL wide receivers, and he's certainly not throwing against NFL defenses. But do I think, based on what I've seen of him, that he can do this? Yeah, I absolutely think he could do this. So, but from a physical standpoint of the Jet quarterbacks that have kind of been, I mean, look, they've had 50 quarterbacks since I started calling their game, certainly since I started covering them. But from a physical standpoint, if you were to start, say, from when they drafted Chad Pennington moving forward, if I were to rank the four, I would say Pennington, just physically speaking, Pennington had the fewest physical skills. Mark Sanchez would be third, and I think a pretty distant, very close battle for first would be between Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold. Let's talk to Will. Carphone joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Will.
Hey, Bob. What's going on, man? I like you, man. I think you're a good asset to the station.
You're a nice guy.
I am fired up about Joey Gallo and what he could do for the for the Yankees. It extends their lineup. Another athletic guy. I know he strikes out. He kind of fits the bill of what we do, for offensively. But, I mean, you know, I look at it this way. We are 500 or six games over 500, and we've been pretty god-awful to this point. You know what I mean? This guy's going to give us the left-handed power bat we need in our lineup to extend our lineup and make us better. I just hope it's a spark we need to get forward. I think yesterday was a big game for the Yankees. Things went right for them where previously those things could have gone wrong. The base hit off of the shortstop's glove, I thought was going to be a double play. And I got to be honest with you, I really thought DJ LeMahieu was going to drop that ball.
Yeah.
They were going to score two runs on a pop-up.
Yep.
Now, you know what I mean? Things
yes.
would go bad that way as the season's going on. Now I think we're turning the corner. Hopefully we get some better breaks and we can start, you know, as the Yankees start playing better. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, no, look, this is what the analytics department would say. And they would basically go along with exactly what you're saying. The Yankees have played, 100 games almost exactly, or 101 games. You got 60 games to go. If we get Joey Gallo and you take him over the final 60 games of the season, say he plays 53 of the final 60 games or 55 of the final 60 games, out of those 55 games, is at some point in, say, 5 to 7 of those games, Joey Gallo going to hit a home run that's going to make the difference between us winning or losing that game? And if he does that, if he hits a home run in, say, 5 or 6 of the one out of every 10 games, Joey Gallo hits a home run that's a difference maker, even one out of every 12 games. He just does it 3 times in the last 60 games or so. That would be what would just inch you past the teams that are ahead of you in the wild card race. And as Michael Kay was saying yesterday, that would get you to the party. Right? That's the analytics department. You're taking this guy. How many at-bats is he going to get between now and the end of the season? Out of that percentage of at-bats, if he hits a home run once out of every 12 at-bats or so, is that home run once out of every 12 to 15 games or so going to be the difference maker to us winning or losing? And a left-handed power bat at Yankee Stadium, yes, you could definitely make the argument that just from an analytical standpoint, what he has done in his career, projecting that over 60 games, he could be a player that makes just enough of a difference that you grab the second wild card. I don't think they think they're going to go on some hot streak and actually go catch the Rays, close a 6-game gap, or, you know, God forbid, get all the way up to where the Red Sox are, 8.5 games behind the Red Sox in the last 60 games, maybe. I mean, they would really have to flip their season, like as a whole lineup, flip their season offensively to do that. But as Michael was saying yesterday, just want to get to the party, right? If you just get to that second wild card spot, and in the wild card game, you doctor the rotation, so Gerrit Cole is your starter in that wild card game, and Joey Gallo does just enough to get you there, yeah, I'd take my shot in a one-game scenario with Gerrit Cole. Now, if Gerrit Cole wins that game, hey, now you're just another playoff team, right? Now you're in the tournament, and now who knows what might happen. So I'm sure that's what they're thinking. There's a lot of logic behind that. Having said that, though, I'm also thinking, what has held them back from winning a championship? Where have they fallen short in years where they've won 100 games or more and then gone quiet in the postseason against a really good opponent? And it's having a lot of guys that strike out a bunch and do nothing but hit home runs. And it does seem like Joey Gallo, statistically speaking, just blends in with the group. The only thing that makes him different is he's lefty, which makes sense for the Yankees. But they've already got a lot of Voits and Sanchez's and Judges and Stantons who do a lot of striking out or hitting home runs. Joey Gallo is just another, you know, quote-unquote Bronx bomber. We'll see how it works out. It's been a lot of fun this week, and I am excited for the final version of DCR's Three Stars now with Ray Santiago.
Today's Three Stars of DCR. Number two.
Wait, what happened? What just happened?
We skipped one entirely.
I said we got four minutes to go in the show, and already you're on star number three.
Well, here's the funny thing, because right. I actually had too much inventory today. I had extra stuff.
All right.
And I wanted to say, okay, well, what's going to be the honorable mention knob today? And
so who are you taking out?
Exactly. I'm pulling the Don LaGreca. Who are you taking out? And so I decided that despite your pessimism with the New York Yankees, because you're so negative about the Yankees pulling
who
the
you taking out?
Thing,
who are you taking out?
I will give the Yankees an honorable mention for pulling the Gallo trade because, yes, although it is another hit or miss, the guy's going to be not have a tremendous average, but he's going to hit for a lot of power. It's going to get you into the playoffs. It may not give you success in the playoffs, but at least you'll get there. And it's a left-handed bat, as you have said repeatedly, to break up all those right hands in the lineups. That being said, star number three, Bob, is going to go to your buddy who was excited not about the colonoscopy, and who would be excited about the colonoscopy,
right?
But even more excited about the colonoscopy prep because it gives him a sort of vacation. Can you give me the rundown on that one more time?
That did happen. I was at a party one time, and like old people, balding, chubby guys like me approaching the process, we're having a conversation, and one guy in the circle of friends at the party was like, oh, you're going to get a colonoscopy, right? The colonoscopy's fine. You're asleep. You have no idea it happened. The problem's the prep. And over my shoulder, I hear one of my buddies go, I love the prep. And we all turned around and look at him and go, what, you love the prep? Who loves the prep? He's like, man, I got a whole routine for the prep. Hotel room, shut the door, I'm 5 feet away from the facilities, I control the clicker, nobody asks me for anything. What's better than the prep? We're like, wow, I guess that is a very nice way of looking at the prep. Because that's not the part of the prep any of the rest of us think about.
That is literally the first and probably the only time in my life I'll ever hear somebody say
ever
thing.
Number two.
All right, now I really mean it for number two. I was going to go to our buddy RJ Santillo here because he did a fantastic job on the observations filling in for Rick. He got all the stories in, and the Did It Happen in Florida stories is an all-timer. I mean, with the mini golf, the gator that needed to be taught a lesson. I need the check. I really do think that guy's name was Chubbs Peterson. We got to look at it. But we did confirm that that actually did happen in Florida. So, once again, great job by RJ.
Number one.
There was no doubt about this one. It's going to go to Aaron Rodgers because the man embarrassed the people that employ him on live TV for about a half an hour yesterday and knew that they weren't going to do anything about it. He basically lived an American fantasy, and it has nothing to do with him being an all-pro MVP caliber Super Bowl-winning quarterback. It's just, all right, hey, bosses, I have something for you. Oh, you guys got to deal with it. That's three stars, Bob. And also, great job by you all 4 days this week. We really enjoyed having you on, and looking forward to the next time you're on this show.
Yeah, boys, anytime you want me back, I am, I've only got five kids and like five different jobs for ESPN, but I'm available. I'm more than happy to come back. I appreciate it. So that is Ray Santiago. RJ Santillo, by the way. RJ, thanks a million for helping me out this week. I appreciate it. You're a good man.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Bob. I look forward to seeing you call 12 different sports on 18 different platforms.
Yeah.
Over the next few weeks.
We had a big introductory Zoom yesterday with all the guys that are going to be involved in NHL coverage for ESPN. So a little surreal seeing my little box in the Zoom in between like Chris Chelios and Mark Messier. But it's a good group, so I'm fired up about that. By the way, KJZ is coming up next. Michael Kay at 9:10 to talk about the Joey Gallo trade. So one more opportunity for me to try and nail Rule 76. No excuses. Play like a champion. It is DCR here on 98.7 ESPN, here with Bob Wischusen and nobody.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.